one of the reasons I'm very unsympathetic to a lot of the men out there in the world of co-parenting, it goes back to seeing similar behaviors they exude that my father exuded. And while, you know, there's been a lot of mending of my connection with him, you know, my dad, to this day, he still doesn't take full accountability for the decisions that were made when I was a child that were out of my hands. And what do I mean by that? Where growing up for me, and I've said this many times in the past, where my mom and dad had a very toxic relationship, marriage, for many years that I got to experience up to the age of 9. And there were things in that marriage that I got to see that I obviously didn't want to repeat as I got into an adult. And it was so toxic and so full of negative stuff that my mom ended up leaving my dad without him knowing. Everybody knew that helped her out on it. My sister knew, family members knew on my mom's side, but I did not know of it. And for many years, my dad never looked for me, never came. There was no effort of him finding me until I was a junior in college already. And it was interesting because from that moment on through today, there's just been ups and downs. But the constant theme with him is this, is that it was my mom's fault for us having the life that we had. And I say to myself, well, I don't have any regrets of my life. Maybe my sister does. Maybe, but I love where I'm at in life. I love the person that I became. I embrace the things that I've experienced and learned from them and became better. And obviously, those lessons are being applied and being a parent to my child right now. And you know, when I tell people all the time, when they're dealing with men that are being very toxic and are not taking any accountability, a lot of it has to do with their ego. There's many men out there that, for whatever reason, they feel that everything has to be catered to them. Maybe that's true when you're married. Maybe there's some truth to that, to people that have that agreement when they go into marriage, right? But when you're co-parenting, all that shit goes out the window. Now it's a matter of you being put in a position of making an effort and not catering to you, but now you have to cater to your child's needs. And then you also have to work with the mother of the child, because now it's not about you guys being in the same household. Now it's two different households, two different rules, two different locations. You see, two different routines, so on and so forth. So now the mindset has to shift. Unfortunately, what I've seen happen so many times is that men don't shift. A lot of men don't shift that mindset of knowing that they have to work as a tandem. And they still feel that, hey, at the end of the day, I'm the person calling the shots. I'm the person that's having to do all of this. And because I am the man of this relationship, of this family dynamic, that you have to do as I say. And I always tell women all the time, no, you don't. Not at all. And I ask many times for these women to tell me. And in all these cases, what happens is this. The men are available on their terms. Not on the terms that the children need them to be, but on their terms. So, for example, there'll be a person that may not show up to the events of the children, but may only be available on the weekends. They may just show up at an event that is convenient to them on their schedule and blame it on work, right? Or they have a hot date and they're saying, you know what? Can you keep the child an extra day? Because I got a date going on. It's things like that. Or if it's something that is not convenient to them. So, for example, if let's just say the mom set up a theater class, the dad says, well, you better take the child whether I have her that day or not because I didn't set that up. You know, there's a lot of men get in that mode of wanting to call the shots, wanting to feel like they're still on top of things. And then what happens is, I see this all the time, when you have a mom that doesn't go along with what the father wants, and then the father's like, well, that's why you're a shitty mom. That's why you have issues within your family. That's why you don't know how to spend your money. That, you know, they start throwing these backhanded compliments to go ahead and not take any accountability for the way things are right now. And you know, that's what I tell people all the time when I talk to these women. I tell them, my dad to this day doesn't take accountability. Not to me, he doesn't. Maybe he talks to my sister, to other family members, but his pride is too big to say that. And I think it drives him up the wall in some way that my life didn't turn out like shit. That here I am living life, loving life, thankful that my mom made that decision, that I don't have to be with him, because I think my life would have been totally different. Trying to live under the umbrella of trying to impress him, a man that no matter how tough my life was, it wouldn't have been tougher than his. And I had to oblige with everything he did. And I would have been under that pressure of family, you know? Like, I think that's where, for me, I'm so happy in that sense that I was liberated. And but when I talk to other women about that and their plight, I let them know that, hey, these are all tactics that he's using to not take any accountability. When he starts calling you names, when he starts saying that the marriage was dissolved because of you, when he talks about that you're feeding stuff to your children that you know is not true, all these different things that these men come up with to try to make you feel less of a parent, I tell them that's just their way of coming back at you because they don't have any control and they don't have anything to say about it, because at the end of the day, guess what? They're not as involved. They don't work in tandem with you. There's so many different variables that these men take and finding excuses to let it be known as to why they weren't the parent that they needed to be. And I always tell this to the women that, you know, with my dad, I always have that the stump question. If life was so good with you, if life was so amazing and perfect with you, why is it that my mom left without you knowing? It's one thing to say she left you, but she left you without knowing. That lets me know there was a level of fear, of legit fear, right? That she worried about her life, that she enough that she had to leave without you knowing. So you can't convince me otherwise. You knowing human behavior enough and just seeing how my mom is, just kind of, it's like you're not gonna sell me on any other thing other than you taking accountability and saying, you know what, she had every right to feel that way because I did tell her some things that I wasn't gonna be happy with her taking the kids from me, and for that I gotta own up to it. But men like him, narcissistic men that are very much egocentric, are not able to do that. They're not able to take accountability. But then when it comes to the reality of being involved, they're going ahead and blaming it on the other person. And in my dad's case, he even blames it on me. And I'm like, I'm 44, but as a child, how can you put that blame on me? As a 9-year-old, a 10-year-old, to reach out to you, to find you. Like, I'm a child. I don't even know how to drive. I don't even know how to work. And that's the reality that, unfortunately, many women deal with men like that. So whenever I talk to women like this, and I talk to them all the time, and they're telling me these stories, give or take, I'm like, you know, no, don't fall for it. Don't fall for it, because that's his guilt. He's suppressing it. And he's not willing to look in the mirror and say, you know what? I haven't been available to those children. I wasn't wanting to take care of them when they were young. Because I see, this is the play I see a lot of men do. When they divorce or they're no longer with a relationship with someone, and then the kid is like 4 or 5. They don't want nothing to do with that kid. Meaning they don't want to be changing diapers. They don't want to be training that kid how to use the potty. They don't want to train them how to do anything, right? But when mom puts in all that sweat equity into the child and makes all those commitments, and now the kid is 12 or 13 years old, and they know how to take a shower, they know how to wipe their ass, they know how to brush their teeth, then the dad is more than likely like, oh, okay, well, I can go ahead and have them now. I could be around them more because now I don't have to worry about all the other parenting shit that I got to do. And that's the part where you're not going to get any sympathy from me, bro. Like, I want that woman a clean house. And I tell them every fucking time, you take them to the cleaners. You do that because at the end of the day, when I feel a dad is being dismissive about his actions or inactions and is trying to blame it on the other parent that had to step up, not only stepped up, but had to answer the bell whether you were going to be there or not. And at the end of the day, it's like, yo, how can you sit back and say that you were involved? Oh, yeah, you were cutting a check. Great. Like, is the kid going to care about you cutting a check, or they're going to care about you spending time with them? I know for me, looking back, I wish my dad spent more time with me. I wish my mom spent more time with me. I wish my parents were supportive of my decisions that involved the things that I love doing. I mean, I wish that was the case, but that trauma still sticks with me. And it's something that only people that have been through it can understand, or people that have worked with kids like me can understand, because there's no sympathy for that. You know, as a man, and I tell this all the time, it's like, I don't have no problem being sympathetic and emotional and in touch with my sensitive side, because I realize this, that it doesn't make me less of a man. At the end, I have a dick. I have testosterone. I've lived life as a man. So there's no debating that. So if I cry, it doesn't make me less of a man. It doesn't mean that I won't punch you in the face. It doesn't mean that I won't stand up for myself. It doesn't mean if I'm emotional, if I'm sensitive, it doesn't mean I can't take care of myself and others. That's not the case, you know? And I guess for me, when I see these stories all the time of men, you know, and I know for me, many people make fun of me because I have the opposite role, meaning that I'm the dad that's always involved, and mom just tries to plug in when she can, if she can, because of her job and the challenges with that. So, you know, it's not something that, you know, I kind of have my own opinion on it, but it's one of those things that it's weird because, you know, I'll probably touch on this a little bit, and I'm not trying to get her mad or anything like that, but it's frustrating at times when you do things for your child and you do things for the benefit of your child, and to feel that it frustrates her. And it frustrates her because I think part of it is because I don't consult with her. But there's a reason why I don't consult with her, because she has not shown that she's had a passion to facilitate the opportunities for the child. Meaning that if it takes Saturday at 10 a.m. to take her to a workshop of theater that she loves doing, that helps her be in good graces with the teachers and the instructors and the directors that are casting for plays in that theater, and you feel that that is wrecking your Friday night or wrecking your resting weekend, that's the sacrifice parents do. I see moms do it all the time, right? So that's kind of where, but going back to the whole guy thing, I guess for me, it's a very disappointing thing to see these men, when these women, I'm like, gosh, I say to myself, and I don't know how this is going to come across, but my daughter's mom is amazing. Like, the bond that they have is exactly what I was hoping for. Like, that mom and daughter bond is awesome, is great, is one of a kind, right? But I always tell these moms, like, gosh, I wish I had that in mind. Like, I wish I had that in my ex-partner, like the desire to be in the trenches, to do all these things that I'm having to pick the baton on, because it's a very hard thing to try to live your life, but then knowing that when the going gets tough or when your child is needing these outlets to do these things, that you need more than one person to do these things, or it helps tremendously. But when you're the only one initiating this, when you're the only one that, and I see the moms doing this all the time, like, the moms are the ones that are really going through a tough time with this. And you know, and the sad thing about it is that, and we say this all the time, you know, when I talk to these moms and these people, is that the men blame it on their manipulation. Like, for some reason, they feel as if the mom is feeding the kids this narrative that dad isn't around, that he's a piece of shit. And I laugh at that, because the answer is the same. It's like, no, you're doing that to yourself. Like, when you're, you know, you as a dad, when you're not involved in those events of those kids, is you could blame everyone, but those kids are never gonna forget that. They're never gonna forget when you weren't there. They're never gonna forget that. And you're creating it. That's what I tell people, is that my family created the bed that we lay in. Meaning the connection that we have, the relationship we have. It's not because of me. It's not like I wanted to be. Who wants to be disconnected from their immediate family that's still alive? That just lets you know the disconnect that's there, because people haven't mutually watered the plant. And when these men go at these women and they're saying these things about them, like, hey, I don't fucking get it. You know, like, why these kids don't want to be with me? What have you been telling them? Hey, that's on you, bro. You're the one that created that. You're the one that made that disconnect the way it is. And you have to work your way back into it. And it's not something that happens overnight. And that's the stuff that when I see these parents, and these moms in particular, like they go through it, I have a soft heart, because, you know, I was that kid. They felt that neglect. That felt like, man, my mom is always here, or my mom is here. Why can't my dad be here? Why can't anybody show me love? It's like, again, we chose for our kids to be here. We chose for them to be here. And part of us choosing for them to be here is, I believe anyway, is to enjoy the journey of becoming who they're meant to be or who they want to be. And why would I want to miss out on that? Why would I want to not create or structure my life to facilitate whatever dream they have of being? You know, and I'll leave with this. You know, I've always talked about this ad nauseum, about the dreams. You know, like, a lot of us, they grow up in it, and they want to go ahead and kick you down and shit and all that stuff. And I always say, man, look, my daughter, she loves theater. She loves the arts. And she may become a performer. She may become a great actress. She may be on Broadway, but she may not. More than likely, reality is she may not. But there's nothing wrong with having that dream and pursuing it for as long as you can, because guess what? She may not be an actress on Broadway living in New York City, but she may be a director of theater in Chicago, in Tennessee, and she may be running her own theater, nonprofit, and creating shows and teaching kids and loving that, and loving that outlet, that expression, and that world. And she's making a living from it, and she never has to feel like she's working a day in her life. Isn't that what we all want for our kids, to be able to pursue their dreams, and wherever it leads them, that's where they're at? Isn't that what it's all about? And none of us, you know, when we get that opportunity to provide that, we should run with it, even if it's to our detriment of our happiness, even because we chose for them to be here. You could try to balance it out as much as possible, but we owe it to them. And we owe it to them to get along with the other parent if you're not in the same household. We owe it to them to make the effort to be available emotionally, physically, financially, to be there in all facets. And that's the part, unfortunately, that a lot of people in this world, when it comes to parenting, don't understand. And they either pass the buck on to somebody, play victim. They go ahead and act as if the other person is at fault, when in reality, all they got to do is look in the mirror and realize that, hey, I got to do my part in this. This is doing stuff that I didn't want to do. And it's okay. Welcome to parenting.